What up, people? Welcome to the Black Comic Creators Podcast, the show where we talk to Black comic and manga creators to learn more about their work, creative process, and just their overall business. I'm your host, Brandon Calloway, writer and creator of Black Spartans Manga. Let's get to it. All right, so welcome to the first episode of Black Comic Creators Podcast. We got Lonzo Starr here, CEO of Concrete Comics, writer and creator of that Legend of the Acolyte. Lonzo's out here doing big things. I'm gonna let him just tell y'all a little bit about who he is and what he's doing.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? And hey, man, thanks again for having me on. I'm very excited to be a part of this establishment here. I know there's some big things coming. I know you got some big guests coming on board, so I'm just happy to be a part of it, man.
Man, I'm happy to have you, you know, here kicking this whole thing off.
Hey, man, it's me too, man. I'm honored. So, like, when you get to episode 500. People gonna be like, "Well, who was episode one?" And there I go, man.
Yeah, we gonna bring you back. We gonna bring you back.
Hey, man, I would highly appreciate that. But for those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Lonzo Starr. I'm the CEO and founder of Concrete Comics and the creator and writer of The Legend of Acolyte and a slew of other characters that are coming soon. But yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell, man. I'm a self-proclaimed king of the blurbs, you know, and yeah.
So, talk a little bit about just Legend of Acolyte and you know, a little bit about that story, what inspired it, and just a little bit about. I mean, I've read chapter or issue one and two. And it's dope. I've been waiting on issue three
I can't wait to hear what you think about issue one and issue two and like where you think the story's going, you know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. The Legend of Acolyte is a story of a man that found out he was blessed with some abilities, some cosmic abilities through his DNA they were awakened, and they were awakened by an ancient celestial. So with these new powers, he has to discover how to be an infinite supreme and how to be just the guardian of the cosmos. So his story is all about responsibility and your just civic duty to do good, you know what I mean? And just be a motivation through not just the people in your surroundings, but everybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I love it. You know, I like those super strong heroes, and you know, I haven't seen them do a whole lot, but in that first issue,
you wait till issue three, brother.
Yeah, wait till
issue three. It's coming.
Yeah. But to me, he feel like a kind of like a I hate to oversimplify it like this, but like a cosmic Superman. I'm excited to see because I remember in was it issue one where like two other I'm assuming they was other supreme beings that like came in while he was training.
Cosmosa and Monitus, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you the exclusive, but they're like Cosmosa's like the living tribunal. She's like. She's like top of the food chain.
She didn't look like she was playing around. I remember that.
Yeah, she's like top of the food chain. And see, his father Abner, he's an infinite supreme. They were like the first beings of the universe. So they're high up there. But you see, his father was shook when she came. He was like, "Wait a minute, I don't know what's going on here. She ain't playing." So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm excited to see him dive into some of those. It looks like the threats, the only potential threats that could come his way, are world level. It just big time stuff. And so I'm I don't know. I'm eager just to see, you know, like one, who is gonna mess with him. And it don't seem like it's gonna go well for him. And so I'm eager to see that whole thing play out. And then, and I mean, we could dive into the other bits of it later, but I'm assuming at some point in time, because I've read I know Concrete has published Odina.
Yeah.
And so I read those two as well. And I'm interested to see like if there is some kind of crossover that that happens between a few of the published titles that you got and then what the potential threat is that will bring all those heavy hitters together.
Oh yeah, man. It's definitely like when you look at the other characters too, like especially Odina and Absolver, they're all like their own universes within the universe. So Acolyte, Odina, Absolver, they have such a big, it's almost like when you take Acolyte and Absolver, it's like Superman and Spawn if they lived in the same United States. You know, yeah. Spawn got this whole big thing going on. And Superman got his whole big thing going on. And then you throw Odina in there. She has a whole big thing going on. So right now, it's like right at the cusp of big events happening through the character. So eventually you're going to start seeing things spill over into the other's world. Like, you know what I mean? With how issue 2 of Acolyte ended with people coming to the planet, you know, that's going to be something that's talked about in the news, you know, around the world. So you might hear them mention that in Odina, and you might hear them mention some stuff about Absolver, like not necessarily Absolver, for instance, but there's like rumors in the streets of like some dark stuff going on, you know, in the world or in the city that he's from. So, you know, those type of things are definitely going to spill out, man. And the one thing I want people to know is what we're trying to do at Concrete is we're looking long term. So our stories aren't, they're not designed to be like quick hits. So mm-hmm. we're trying to really take you on a journey and a ride, like show you how these characters grow up, how they struggle. Because I don't know if you peeped with Acolyte issue 1 and 2, I left time gaps in mm-hmm. between the issues to where issue 1 happened. Well, when you pick up on issue 2, that's about 10 years later after issue 1.
Yeah, so I
got a whole lot of story in between there that I just didn't give you guys yet. And then there's also story before issue 1, because you don't know how he got there or why he's there.
Yep.
He was just already in a ship and it was going place. So I'm really excited for you guys to see his origin, like what led him to want to find out, you know, what his destiny was. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. I like that. I like the little, you know, you get to see him hop into some action, and then you get to look at issue 1 and 2 of Acolyte and Absolver and Odina and get the feeling like you are at the beginning of this whole world with every new issue, like being excited about when Acolyte number 3 comes out, is this going to be the one where, you know, it's some spillover into Odina? And so it's, to me, I feel like it's a little bit more exciting than, you know, just reading, you know, 6 issues of one thing, because while that's still world building, like this is universe building. That's dope, and it's something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, man. Universe building is super fun and super intimidating, because it's kind of tricky understanding where you want to start. You know what I'm saying? Like where you want to tell the story from, because, you know, I could have told the story of Acolyte from when he was a child.
Right.
But then I was like, man, me being a consumer, you know, I don't like the long waits of waiting to see a person get their suit or get in their uniform, man. So why don't I why don't I do it the way like Star Wars kind of just threw us into the Jedi war already. Like we've seen Jedis and lightsabers from the gate, but imagine if Star Wars started with like the origin of Jedi. So before we even seen a lightsaber, cats were just moving rocks with their hands and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, would we be as wrapped up into it? And I think that the fact that we got into the Star Wars mythos and seeing, you know, Han Solo and all them cats so quick, it made us automatically interested and just want to continue. So that's kind of what I wanted to do with Acolyte, because being an indie creator, it's already hard to keep people coming back. So, you know, how are you going to get people right away and make them want to keep coming back? You know what I'm saying? So I was trying to solve that equation, you know?
Yeah. And I definitely feel you on that. Cause even with my project, the manga that I'm working on, Black Spartans, I pick it up like right, you know, it's about a guild of hunters and stuff, but I pick it up when on his first day as a hunter, instead of, you know, who he was as a kid and how how he grew up and how he got trained and all of that. It was, you know, like, all right, we kicking it off with action, and we kicking off the story, and hopefully people are intrigued about, okay, well, you know, why is he already so strong? How did he, you know, how did he get to where he is? What was his backstory? You know, what's this whole celestial spirit thing? I don't know. I can't say most people are like that, but I know a lot of people want that, instead of, you know, waiting issues and issues with that whole long drawn out origin story. And so I think that's one of the reasons that when I read Acolyte, that, you know, it immediately resonated with me, because that's how I think too. And I know that's the type of stuff I want to consume.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. And you know, the thing I'm really trying to do is establish the world and the people in the world more so than Acolyte, because y'all are going to get Acolyte already. That's like not even a question that y'all are going to see Acolyte, but I want y'all to be interested in the situations he's in. So like when you saw issue two was less of me really, like issue one and issue two weren't really me telling the story that was coming about. I was dropping breadcrumbs at the story with the whole Key to Kai thing and showing people talking about it. But in issue two, if you notice, I showed the news reporters and they mentioned something about a villain. And when they were talking, and then I showed the bank robbers, then I showed a big boss of the city that is like not pleased with Acolyte messing up his business. And then I showed the government, like, they don't trust Acolyte. And then at the same time, we see an invasion come. So that was me planting, you know, breadcrumbs, like, even though he's protecting us and there's people coming on Earth, he doesn't even see the problems that are brewing right up under his nose. That people are going to start hunting for him here too. You know what I'm saying? So I want people to understand that Acolyte he's still naive. He's a human at base. You know what I'm saying? He just has the DNA. He shares the DNA with an ancient celestial being. So that's what makes him extraordinary. But he's just like me and you, man. He want to play PlayStation and just chill. You know what I'm saying? But he got this power. And I think the world, you know, Superman shows us that the world would be really intimidated with a person that powerful. You know what I'm saying? So trying to play with it in a way where I don't want to tell a Superman story. I want to tell an Acolyte story. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the challenge. You know?
So are there Superman, or are there other Marvel, DC, or are there other stories that inspired your characters and inspire your story overall?
I would not necessarily characters, more so like me, I'm a big movie buff, man. I love movies like The Fifth Element and Aliens and Predator and stuff like that. Like, you know, those like cosmic adventure type things. And like I loved what's that movie came out a few years ago, Valerian. I mean, I love those type of movies, right? So I wanted to, and I'm big on astrology. Like, I love the stars and studying all that stuff. So as a kid, I always wanted to be an astronaut, but, you know, obviously you see how that turned out, you know what I mean? but so.
Hey, it's never too late.
It's too late for me. After I heard about that training, I said, oh, no, I'm good. But, you know, I just wanted to, I never saw a character like Acolyte in my childhood, somebody that was cool and super powerful and people would want to be like, you know what I'm saying? Most of the black heroes were like street level heroes that we were introduced to, like the Luke Cages and the Blades and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They couldn't do nothing extraordinary. I think Acolyte's one of the few that could do stuff extraordinary. Like, I know Milestones has I can't think of his name, but Milestone has their Superman like character, but I didn't really know too much about him. And I do love Marvel's Blue Marvel. I like him a lot because of his origin is crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't even know about Blue Marvel because Marvel don't show him that much love.
Yeah, but see, so for me, like Star Wars and stuff like that was a big inspiration on me making Acolyte. But also, I love superhero stories. I love X-Men. I would say I'm a big fan of the thought of Superman, but I wasn't a diehard comic fan of Superman. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I read more. I probably got more Wolverine comics than anything, probably. You know what I'm saying? I was a big X-Men fan and people like that, you know?
Yeah, but yeah.
I'm also a big fan of Martian Manhunter. He's probably one of my favorites, Martian Manhunter. But I took inspiration to make Acolyte from all kind of things, bro. Like, I'm a big Dragon Ball fan, you know what I'm saying? So I took some of their cosmos, you know. They go to the cosmos all the time, you know what I'm saying? And flying through space and aliens coming. So that was a big inspiration. And so, yeah, man, I picked from everything. And it's funny because like 90% of it is not comic book stuff.
I was noticing that. But that's dope though, because it's coming together really, really, really well. And, you know, you touched on this a little bit, but, you know, like, what are your thoughts or how you feel about just the importance of, because like you said, there was not a character like Acolyte that you, like, there wasn't no super strong black characters, and so you know, there a lot of people are talking about how, you know, like the big dogs, Marvel and DC, should be, you know, making black characters and uplifting black characters. And I personally think that, you know, that the black character, like the next big time, the next big thing, the black characters that we want, are gonna have to come from the indie comics industry.
Yeah.
Because I don't see any chance of it coming from the mainstream. So just how do you feel about that?
Me personally, bro, I actually love that they don't create it because it gives us the opportunity to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if
for real.
Like, for instance, if Marvel and DC came out with some dope ass black, you know, comics, man, it would make it real hard for us because they have the money to just overshadow us in a heartbeat. So I'm glad that they're not diving into it. They're giving us the opportunity to get a head start, you know what I'm saying, before they do dive into it, because they are going to dive into it. And so right now it's real important to establish yourself as an indie and try to make those moves, because you know, like, that's really what Concrete is about, answering that call that was going out to people looking for characters that look like them. We're like, here we are, you know, there's plenty of us. There's a lot of other companies like us too that are out here. You just got to look for it. I didn't know there were indie comics when I got into comics, because I I just got into this in 2018, man. I didn't know anything about indie comics. All I knew was the big two, you know. But I found an indie comic. I think it was Dark Eagle World. He had like an animation, and I hit him up to produce a theme song for him. So he let me do that theme song. And when I had to read his script to learn the character, that's when I kind of saw what it looks like to write a script for a comic book. And uh-huh. That's what blew my mind, because it was so similar to writing a song. And I was like, yo, I could write a comic book. And then like all my childhood dreams just rushed forward. Like, yo, you got to make this book, player. So, you know what I mean? And that was the birth of like the fire that ignited, you know what I'm saying, to really make my comic book, bro. I had no clue about indie comics.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I knew that it was a lot of people. You hear about Kickstarter, right? You hear a lot of different projects are happening on Kickstarter. And so I heard about a few like comics happen on Kickstarter. But I don't think, like, I didn't dive into the world probably until late 2019. Mm-hmm. And it really got deeper in like just last year in 2020. And so I had no idea just the depth of, you know, the amount of creators, the range of stuff that is already out and already published. And, you know, because people are always talking about, oh man, we want Black comics, we want to support Black creators, we want Black comics, mm-hmm. we want to support Black creators. And like they exist, they already there. They just need to be brought to people, and people need to be brought to them. Hopefully this podcast
I guarantee, because this is what it's about, man. Just creating avenues and talking about what we got going on. Like, the more we talk about it, the more people will be intrigued and discover indie comics, just like me and you did. You know, me and you learned about it by somebody sharing it or somebody posting something. So just your podcast is going to bring a lot of attention to the market, man.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah. And I think the thing that surprised me the most was just the quality of, the writing. There's high quality art, and that's easy to see, you know, because you scroll through Instagram, you can see a whole bunch of artists. But the quality of the writing, you know, is a lot of times is better than the quality of the mainstream stuff, because if Marvel writes something bad, people gonna read it because it's Marvel. You know, if me or you come out with some trash, like, people gonna call us out on it, like, oh yeah, well, I ain't messing with them no more. And so it forces us, like, we got to make sure, like, our game is top notch, because if it's not, we ain't got that name recognition. And and even like for me, I know, like, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is out right now, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of people are loving it and talking about it. And I feel like the narrative of Falcon, you know, who helped to fight this intergalactic war and save the universe, and now he's just some kind of like broke Black dude that got a few connections. I feel like that's lazy writing. The like him, hopefully, is not, spoiler alert if you ain't watching it.
I'm definitely watching. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm talking for the people listening. You know, hopefully, y'all watching. But right. He gives up the shield, and then it's a surprise when somebody else gets it. I'm like, that's lazy writing. Like, obviously, they was gonna give away the shield. And if an indie creator wrote something that was like that, just that blatantly stupid, we wouldn't be able to recover from it the way that they can.
Sometimes you got to look at it too, man. Marvel and them, that they have a bigger demographic than a lot of us. Like, the privilege me and you have is to we can kind of dial in on exactly who we want to read this. So like say for instance, the title, we have Absolver's more of a dark story. So when we market that, I market that to a specific genre of people that like the mature audience, you know what I'm saying? That's gonna do that. So Falcon and Winter Soldier, although they try to stay true to what the comic book fans are gonna wanna read or watch, they give something that's general that my wife could watch it and just entertain it. You know what I'm saying? But if they went too deep into the actual superhero stuff, people would be like, I'm not watching this nonsense.
Yeah. But even that surface level stuff, like they make all of the clearly easy cliche writing decisions. And it just feels like lazy, right? Like it feels like they didn't try to figure out another way where they could have gotten to the same thing. How else could John Walker have got the shield instead of Sam just saying, yeah, oh no, mean, I don't want it, and I'm gonna put it in a public museum.
But see, the thing though, I think is what really got me is that although Sam's intentions were true and the United States was acting like, yeah, we're just gonna put it in a museum and rock out. And then next thing you know, like they gave it to somebody. That's how they do us all the time. You know what I'm saying? They always do black folks like that. So me, I appreciated that. I don't think Sam was, you know, Sam, we see our veterans treated like that all the time. People, you know, black veterans that have served and then they can't even get benefits and stuff like that. So like, you know what I mean? I think it's true. I think it gives for a better story, because if Sam came back and he was balling with money at a penthouse, driving around some Tony Stark type Bentley, you know what I'm saying? We wouldn't feel for him that much because he's almost privileged. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I mean, I definitely get that narrative. I feel like as soon as Sam gave them the shield, I was like, oh, okay, so that's how they're going to give the shield to somebody else. Like the moment that happened, I knew how to like what was going to happen either at the end of this episode or the beginning of the other episode, which, you know, is cool. Maybe that's exactly what they wanted. I just would have appreciated, I would have appreciated if they found a way to give the shield to John Walker that wasn't so obvious. That is at the very beginning of the series, I didn't just have to throw my hands up and be like, oh, okay, well that's clearly how it's going to happen. And I feel like as indie creators, like the quality of writing to not make the easy choice for the reader is consistent and very intentional.
Yeah, I feel that too. I think too, man, the fact that you're a writer, you know, you're gonna overanalyze everything that you watch. Now you're like me, for instance, when I watch TV, I'm watching TV, but I'm also studying at the same time. I'm looking at how they write that, how they set up this scene, like how did they set up this cliffhanger or do this, do that. So as I'm watching, I'm studying and I'm learning so I can use these tactics in my books, you know what I'm saying? But the one thing I always practice is just to watch it, just to be entertained. Because, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, I just want to be entertained. And what we're getting from Marvel and this Disney Plus stuff is, you know, is actually what I wanted, man. I loved WandaVision. I'm loving what they're doing. Like, it's so entertaining to me. And I'm just excited for the future, and maybe just to help out the laziness in the writing. But at the same time, I'm happy when they write lazy, because then that gives us the opportunity to blow people's minds, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always praying on them to do less so we can do more. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. I love WandaVision. I like the new method of how they going of because if WandaVision was a movie, it'd have been dope, but it wouldn't have been as good as getting it over the course of 9 episodes. And I was a little skeptical when they said that this was the route that they were gonna go. I wasn't really sure how it was gonna turn out, and so it overall, I'm happy with it. It reminds me of the quality. It reminds me that the quality of indie creators is just high. Is on par with the same kind of stuff that they doing.
Oh yeah, man. I guess both of our risk are they're the same but very different at the same time. So for instance, for an indie creator, our risk is we got one shot to make you believe in us. And if you don't believe, you're gone. Marvel, they got hundreds of, like, you know, almost 100 years in the game of loyal fans and customers that even if they do some nonsense, people are just gonna, they're gonna be pissed, but they're gonna come back because they've been shopping at the same store for 50 years. Their grandma been shopping there, their daddy been there, their mama there, now they there, their kids there. I'm saying it's like it's in the family to shop with them, but their risk is they're afraid to create anything new. Because when they create new characters, people don't like them. People want to see their old. People want to see Iron Man. People want to see Thor. They want to see Captain America. So they have a huge disadvantage of not being able to create new characters. And if they don't succeed, like that one character, I was getting his books because I started like collecting all the Black character comic books. Mosaic, I think his name was Mosaic. I don't know if you seen that comic from Marvel.
I don't think so. The name do sound familiar. And I remember they put out a couple of years ago, they put out a whole bunch of like new the characters book, that didn't seem was, to stick.
The book was dope. The writing was dope. Like his power was real unique. His power was like, he was like a spirit almost. So he could jump into your body or my body and he'd be interacting with our people, but he would be himself. So he would have to pretend like, to be them until he figures out another body to hop into. So the writing was really dope. And his name was Mosaic. It was a Black character, but it only had like 5-6 issues, man. But it was dope. But that's their gamble. They can't do new things because their fans don't want it. Their fans say they want it, but they really don't. You know what I'm saying? To whereas our thing is, we start writing a character, and then people be like, yo, I love Acolyte. You got anything else?
That's a good point too. That's a really good point because it does open up a lane for, you know, for me and you. And so in that realm, how did you go about, you know, learning how to publish your own? How do you go about publishing your own books? What's that process like?
I'll be honest, man. I was learning as I was going, bro. You know, coming from the music industry, I was under my own label at Concrete Music Group. You know what I'm saying? So I have a lot of umbrellas under the Concrete Entertainment thing. I got Concrete Comics, Concrete Music. And with the music, I'm a producer and a writer and an artist. So, you know, I recorded myself. I did everything myself. I never had to depend on anybody to make my music. So that kind of spoiled me mentally to be super independent. And, I've depended on people in music, but I've always wound up having to do it myself anyway, because they don't push it the way I feel it needs. Like, just something about waiting on people, it really doesn't rub me right. I just can't do it, man. You know what I'm saying? So when I got into comics and I was trying to learn and understand what to do, like literally when I wrote Acolyte, when I first got into the indie scene and started writing Acolyte, I wrote him to fit into DC. I was like, that's where I was thinking. I was like, yo, out of the two big, I could see him in DC more than I could see him in Marvel, because he was more of a serious character than you know, kind of lighthearted, whatever. But as I was searching for information and people to talk to, I was getting a lot of cold shoulders and a lot of negative feedback. Some people said the hood wasn't going to work, this and that. I was getting a lot of stuff, man. And if I didn't have the thick skin I have from the music industry, I might have changed up a lot on Acolyte. I might have done things all differently. So it was the cold shoulders that pushed me to just publish myself. And it was the best decision I could have ever made. You know, I got complete control over what I do with my character and my creations. And it wasn't too hard to understand it. With technology now, publishing your own stuff and being your own boss is way easier than it was for the people that came before us, man. So once you just learn how to sell it, how to get printing, how to do all that other stuff like that, you know, I'll tell you this, it's way easier than trying to print out a mixtape on 1,000 CDs. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to do that, man. I remember my first mixtape, man, I had like a Dell computer, man, and I literally had to burn every CD. I burned like 50 CDs, man. It took me like 8 days, man. You know what I'm saying? like literally. So it's, and you know what's the thing about the comic, the indie comic scene versus the music scene is that it's much easier to get noticed in the comic scene because this is a visual medium. It's harder to get somebody to listen to you than it is to like, if I come up to you on the street and I just show you a poster, like, yo, check out this character I got, and you look at it and like, yo, that nigga dope, I got you already.
Right.
But if I come up to you and say, yo, you want to hear this song? You might be like, nah, I got somewhere to go, man. I got something to be. Like, you can show somebody a picture faster than you can get them to listen to a song.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. It's crazy to hear that, you know, you had all this negative feedback and all of this about changing up, about potentially changing up Acolyte, because like I said, when I read it, I love the character the way it is. I think it's dope. And so, which is a good reminder, you know, especially if it's other creators listening to this, that like, it's always going to be people out there that don't see the same vision that you see, or don't, you know, that just don't like your stuff. Just like that, it's always going to be, you know, people out there that also do. I'm not advocating for, you know, just, you know, come up with the craziest dumbest thing and put that out. Right. But if you like it and you believe in it, then stick with it and rock with it. Because I mean, for you, I mean, you went from, you know, Acolyte to Concrete Comics with, you know, I mean, how many characters y'all got up under y'all now?
Published?
Yeah.
Probably about six right now.
Yeah.
But not, yo, even the way I would promote, people was coming at me like that, especially on some of the Facebook groups. It usually came from the non-melanated side of things, you know. Mm-hmm. but like from the people that look like us, it was a lot of cold shoulders. From the other folks, it was a lot of, that ain't gonna work, this ain't happen, you're not promoting like this, this won't work in Marvel, this won't work in DC, your lettering is off, this and that. Like, it was everything, almost everything I did, it was something completely wrong with it. But then, you know what I started doing? I started looking at what they were doing. I was like, all right, so show me what you got. And I look at their stuff and I'm like, well, this is trash, bro. You know what I mean? Like, what, how you judging me when you can't even do it? Like, people often try to put this like stoic expectation on your project, and they have a project that meets none of that. You'd be like, yo, how are you gonna tell me how to promote when you don't even promote? How are you gonna tell me how to do a Kickstarter when you didn't even do one? You didn't fund one. You're telling me based off of what you saw Todd McFarlane do, or one of them guys. Like, you know what I mean? So I started just talking to people that are doing what I'm trying to do. And that's when that's when the knowledge opened up, because I was literally asking people, like, even when I did my first Comic-Con, I had no clue what it was about. So I went to Comic Cons and I would ask the cats at the table. I was like, yo, man, so how does this work? Like, how do you set this up? How do you know how many books to bring? How do you know how to do this? So I was just not afraid to ask questions, man, because that's what you got to do. You know, you got to do it. Like, our first Comic Con, I was nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't think people was going to buy none of our stuff, man. But people was buying it. And that was like a really dope feeling. So just my message to any creator that's listening, man, just really be very careful of who you take advice from and who you get guidance from. Make sure that person is not coming from a point of like destruction, but they're coming with some tools to help you build what you're trying to build. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cause I mean, no matter who it is, everybody got opinions, but it just, you know, what is that opinion worth? So, so yep, absolutely, man. And you know, talking about building up, like, you know, as a creator, we got to find audience for our books and continue to build that audience. And so you were just talking about going to Comic Cons. How important, you know, like, I'm new to this, and so I haven't been able to be at one because you know, I published my book and even like started getting it drawn up and stuff during COVID. So all the Comic Cons was just, you know, going. I think even again for this year, some of the big ones are going again. They're taking a 2-year hiatus. And so how important do you feel like it is for being a new creator or just a indie creator in general to be at those Comic Cons and tabling them?
Well, I think there was a big misconception about cons. When you think about cons, you think like you got to go to the biggest and the baddest to be where it's at. You know what I'm saying? And that's where most people think, like, yo, I got to go to New York Comic Con. I got to go to this Comic Con. Trust me, if you knew, do not go to New York Comic Con thinking that you're going to be a big dog, man. Cause that's like a con. Doing a con is work. It's like from the business side of it, it's literally a full-time job. You're sitting at your table. Hopefully you got somebody with you, cause you're going to have to use the bathroom at some point. You're going to have to get something to eat. You're going to have to get some food. You know what I'm saying? So you got to kind of schedule, like, yo, when do I get up to do this? Because that moment you get up and leave, you could have 7-6 customers come by your table and they're like, ain't nobody here, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? So it's a lot that goes into that con. But you know, we started off small. We went to there's a dude named Eric Cooper. You gotta look him up. He runs Black Label Con in Philadelphia, and he's an author.
I heard about that.
He's an author, a writer, got comic books and novels. He does everything, man. He's a brilliant writer, editor, everything like that. And he's like a mentor almost. He was one of the guys I spoke to at my first Comic-Con to understand what it was. And he gave me his contact to stay in contact. And once, you know, I would say I met him in 2018. And by 2019, I had like some comic stuff together, and he put me in my first con. You know what I'm saying? He was like, yo, I got a con, I'll give you a table. And that was my first test. And that was kind of, you know, where it led off. And from that con, you know, I met some dope people, man. But doing a con, it's important, but it's not make or break either. You can be super successful. Like, take for instance, take Black Sands Entertainment. They're the most successful online company I've ever seen in my life. But at Comic Cons, you know, they do Comic Cons, but that's not their main thing. They focus on online sales. They really get you wrapped up online, and they have a dynasty built just online. Then you take I don't know if you know who TJ Sterling is. He has from Ray Comics. He's a brilliant. He's ridiculous, man. I was nervous because at our first con, we had a table next to him, and I was like, God damn, like he was by himself, man, just whipping them books out like hotcakes. People was coming to his table. He was getting them things off. Like he looked like Young Jeezy out there, just getting them in, getting them off. I was like, dang. So, you know, and he's a Comic-Con like connoisseur. And I met a lot of the dudes I met at these Comic-Cons. They're like, they're Comic-Con guys. That's what they do. They go to Comic-Cons monthly, twice a month. They're at different cons and they're selling, and that's how they make their income. Then you got people that make their income offline. So you could be either one. You just gotta hustle at whichever one that you do. You know, me, I'm looking to be both. So, I mean, I'm not focused on one. I'm a be both. You know what I mean? Because, like, when COVID hit, a lot of the Comic-Con guys got hurt by that because they weren't internet savvy. So they had to retool and refocus themselves on how to sell their products without the cons, because they're used to selling the inventory at the cons. You know what I mean? So it's good to be both. You know what I'm saying? I'll just say that. Just find get a nice, solid online base of the way you sell your books, how you sell your books, and also get out there in them streets and hit some cons, because people want to meet you in person and shake your hand.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely makes sense. I have had to, you know, dive in and try to have, you know, as strong as possible online presence to make up for those cons. But I definitely plan on getting out there and
cons are fun, man. They're extremely fun. You to see people's excitement when they pick up your book and they ask you questions, and you gotta, you know, pitch to them as fast as you can to get them interested. Yep. And some people, I mean, I've had people come to the table and tell me, like, yo, I don't think Acolyte's power works like that. I was like, what? I was like, well, tell me how it works then. He was like, well, check it out. He does, you know, when he did that, it meant this. I was like, okay, you know, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
And they understand that you wrote it.
That's the fun about it, man. Yeah. Is you get the debate with your fans. Like, your fans are coming to tell you what you did wrong. You're like, dang, okay, say less, man, you know.
How do you feel like because you said, I mean, you started in 2018, and I feel like you are one of the big names and when it comes to Black comics and indie comics in general. How do you feel like you developed most of your audience? Like, do you feel like there was a one avenue, or do you feel like, you know, oh man, I did these two things and that got me a bunch of people.
I would say consistency. You know what I'm saying? We haven't taken a week off ever from promoting and putting ourselves out there, being online, doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Once we had product to put out, I don't believe we ever, I don't think we ever missed a week of promoting ourselves. You know what I'm saying? So that consistency is really what pushed us up there. Cause you know, I noticed a lot of people will do Kickstarters and stuff like that, and once the Kickstarter's done, you don't hear from them again until they do another Kickstarter. You know what I'm saying? So we did like one Kickstarter per year when we first started. We did, you know, this year is the first time we did a single book Kickstarter, and now we're probably gonna do a couple more. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's really just that consistency, man. Letting people see as much as possible. That's how we grew, and we got recognition, because nobody was showing us. I swear to you, we weren't getting no love, man, in the beginning. Like, I felt like people were looking at us like outsiders or something. Like, who are these guys? They don't belong here. And that was more so a feeling from the peers. I felt like for people that were creators, I didn't feel like they embraced us. So we developed that Wu-Tang mentality. Like, well, it's either us or them. So it's going to be us. And we're going to wave our flag and get people that support us. So, you know, all the everybody that's out here with sorry about that, bro. Everybody that's out here with the concrete shirts on and repping a brand, you know, we move like an army now, you know, kind of like a brand. So that's what helped us, is people getting involved with the movement. Like, I think we developed a niche that's similar to, like, you know how fans of Milestone are, like, they're like dedicated to Milestone. Not just, it's not the individual character they're dedicated to, they're just dedicated to the brand. So we did very good at developing a brand that people felt like they wanted to be a part of. Where, you know how people are, some people, they're like, yo, I'm a Marvel guy, I'm a DC guy. Now we got people that they might say they're a concrete guy, you know what I'm saying? So right. That I think that's what helped it, because all of our characters have different fans, man. People, I don't know if you noticed, but we get a lot of fan art done of Odina. Odina gets the most fan art out of everybody. You know what I'm saying? Absolver people really dive deep with Absolver. They love that story. Like, they go in. And with Acolyte, I think people look at him like the big dog, because he has the stoicness of, you know, of that guy, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, it's just, I'll say this, it wasn't nothing I had planned for at all. I didn't know that it was gonna turn out the way it did. It just kind of, everything kind of folded in, into the right place. Turn it off and get out. I'm on energy.
Man, yeah. I mean, that's what's up. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are excited about, you know, the stuff that y'all got coming out and coming up. It didn't even occur to me to you know, consider myself a concrete guy, but I would definitely consider myself a concrete guy.
I appreciate it, man.
Like I said earlier, man, it's great universe building, it's great storytelling. It's exciting. It's exciting, man. You got any other like tips or any you know knowledge you want to drop for other creators out there that may be, you know, looking to build up or put their first book out or put their second, third book out or anything like that?
It's a few things, man. You know, I think confidence is a major in this thing. You know, believe it. If you believe in your project, that energy is going to feed off of other people. Like I think when you met me and when I met you, I knew you believed in your project. That's why I wanted to hear what you had to say about it, what you talked to me about it, because you believed in it. You pitched it to me like, yo, this is what I'm doing, bro. And this is dope. You know what I'm saying? This is dope. So that's undeniable. You know what I mean? When I come and do these interviews, I got on the concrete shirt, and how I talk about the other characters, like, think about it. Absolver and Odina, Andy Starboy, those aren't my creations, but, you know, I believe in them. I love those characters. Yeah. So you can feel that when I speak about it and the conviction about the brand, you know what I'm saying? So just really believing in what you're doing and also being realistic with yourself. Like, if you want to be looked at on the scale of like a Marvel and DC, but your content doesn't look like theirs, you can't be upset with the reaction that people may give you. You gotta look like how you look. It's just like going to a job interview. They always say, what, dress like the job you're trying to get. Yeah. Right. So you gotta look like what you want people to recognize you as. If you want to look like the big dogs, you gotta find a way to look like the big dogs and move like the big dogs. So that's like one of my biggest advices, is just be realistic with yourself, man, and believe in yourself, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that confidence, I know it sounds cliche, but that confidence does go a long way, man. When I first started writing, you know, Black Spartans, my whole thing was that I was going to write what I wanted to read. Like, I wasn't gonna write, all right, man, I'm gonna change this because I think this will sell more. I'm gonna change this because I think this will sell more. Like, I wrote it and then it's funny because I go back and read my own stuff and I'm laughing at it and I'm like, oh man, this is dope. I'm like, I know what's gonna happen because I literally wrote it. I write it for myself to enjoy it, which gives me that conviction of, you know, I'm gonna put it out there for other people, and hopefully other people enjoy it too. But I don't expect it. I don't expect everybody to love it the way that I do. You know, everybody, it's not gonna be for everybody. Some people not gonna like it, but that's fine because I know what I enjoy, and I know it's other people out there that enjoy that same thing. So yeah, that. Having that confidence in your project goes a long way. Oh man, Alonzo, I can't hear you anymore.
Yo. There you go. That. Yeah, man. It definitely goes a long way, man. And you know, the one thing I was really intrigued about your project is I'm a big Lord of the Rings guy, bro. I'm a big Lord of the Rings dude, man. Like the movies, I'm one of those dudes that can sit in the movie theater and watch the whole series back to back and back to back and just love it. So when I saw what you got and it was people that look like me, I was like, wait a minute, man, he might be on to something here because this is what the culture needs. The culture needs these fantasy stories and this stuff like that. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm very excited. Hey man, plug yourself, man. Tell me about your project real quick, man. I gotta hear something about this, man. Tell me how you got into it, man.
Yeah, so I mean, you know about the Black Spartans project is really just about, you know, a group of hunters that are going around from, you know, one town to another town, and they got celestial spirits inside of them where they can use a certain weapon that celestial spirit energy forms into a weapon with a special ability and all of that. And so it's a lot of like mythical creatures in there. It's a lot of demons and specifically some Oni. But you know, I'm a big anime fan, big manga fan. And so I mean, there's really a lot of like, you know, I tell people like it's the world building of One Piece. One Piece is my favorite, like my favorite anime overall. I know it's stupid, dumb, long, but I love it because I love the storytelling and world building in One Piece. You know, I like the action of Bleach, and I like the story and lore of The Witcher, which, you know, was a book series, but I dove into The Witcher through the video game, and I know it's a Netflix show now, but like those three things are kind of like the main inspirations of how I built this. And it's a typical shonen, but you don't see a lot of Black characters especially represented well in anime and manga. I mean, that's the avenue I'm taking there.
And, yeah, I think that that's really dope, man. And just seeing how you building it is definitely gonna be crazy, man. I might actually, there was this guy that I met on Twitter. He's like a distributor in Japan. That might be a good connect for you, bro, to push it over there, because they consume their books differently than ours. Like they're really big on the digital aspect, so it might be even easier, you know, way for you to really push that to the culture out there. And also, I think you should really push your content to the Nigerian comic industry. They have a huge comic industry over there, over in Nigeria, and something like your story would be real dope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've been moving to expand, just beyond the States, and so to expand to some other cultures that also are you know are popular in consuming, you know, manga and comics in general. And so yeah, you got some connects. I'm always down to talk to somebody new, and it's expand to a new audience. I feel like I've been a little lucky to have built up a following with a few people that have you know got some early access to, because I actually got chapter one published, obviously, but I got chapter 2, 3 and 4 already, like all they already written, the scripts are already written, they're already drawn in mm-hmm. in storyboard form, and they we just gotta we gotta get to the rest of it. And so I'm lucky enough where I got a decent following, but I'm excited to get those, like get, you know, chapter 2 done fully and 3 done fully and 4 done fully, all the way up to chapter 6, and then we're gonna have that whole first volume where people gonna be able to dive into it, and it's gonna be some real rich action in that good like kickoff story to this shonen series. So
oh yeah, but listen, man, I'm excited. So anybody out here listening, y'all got to make sure y'all go and find this man, and don't find him. I mean, don't come back until you find him and find that project, because
it's links all through the podcast, so people can easily be able to check out Black Spartans on the website. But you know, to that same point, tell people where they can find you, find Concrete, and find all of your titles, because you know they absolutely need to be reading that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. You guys can find me anywhere you see that cracked K symbol floating in the air, grazing across the clouds. You know what I'm saying? But no, yeah, concretecomics.com. That's Concrete with a K, KONKRET, comics.com. That's where we have all of our stuff, our merch, our books. You also can purchase our books on our Instagram as well as our Facebook. We have stores connected to the website there as well. And follow us everywhere at Concrete Comics. No space in between, just at Concrete Comics. And yeah, man, we got a lot of new projects on the way. We got the Watchmen Kickstarter that's out right now. It's a really dope book. Street level hero, you know, who got to deal with some family issues, man, and some things really turn up in his city. So he's the one man in his city that can maybe turn things around. So that's gonna be a real dope story to dive into. If you're a Daredevil, Moon Knight, Nightwing type of fan, that's the type of book for you. That's written by my man Lyle Ringgold. We got Andy Starboy, written by Danny DiCalvo. If you like that show Invincible, you'll love Andy Starboy. It's really similar to that style of writing and even that style of art. And that's a crazy story. We got Odina issue 3 dropping this summer. We got Acolyte issue 3 dropping this summer. We got Absolver dropping the end of the summer. So we're going off this year, and we got Decimation Earth, number 1 and number 2 dropping this year, very soon, actually. So we going off, man. We are going off.
FondestofConcreteComics.com. And see that right there. That's why you know, you wanted the big dogs in the indie space and in the black comic space, because like you said, that consistency, you know, putting out that content. Me as a consumer, I know that's what I want. I want to be able to continue to dive in to more stories. And so I as a consumer, I appreciate the commitment to continue to put out more stuff.
I appreciate that, man. And I appreciate your consistency too, man. I see your advertisement like twice a day, man. You know what I'm saying? I see it on IG, I see it on Facebook, so that's really good, man, you know, for real.
Yeah, but Let everybody they gonna know about Black Sparge, whether they like it or not. You know, they gonna at the very least they can't say they ain't heard of me. They can't say they ain't had the time had a chance to check it out. So, and I'm confident that when people check it out, they'll love it. Just like I know when people check out Acolyte, they gonna love that.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, man. It definitely means a lot coming from a tough critic such as yourself, because I just heard you rip apart Falcon, you know, real crazy. So I'm very pleased that you enjoyed Acolyte, man, because I ain't gonna hold you. I'm nervous every book I put out, because, you know, you never know how people are going to receive it. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I'm confident in my writing, but writing, I hated English when I was younger, man. So, like, I never thought I would be writing books, man, but. So, yeah. You know, I'm always highly critical over myself as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you definitely got some good stuff. And you know, I'm the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, man. I'm gonna consistently say they knew better. They could have done better. I'm not mad. I ain't gonna stop watching it. It's just like you said, you know, it's Marvel. So I'm one of those people that's also going to keep coming back. But you outdid them on this. I'm trying, man.
I would humbly decline that. I would just say I'm just scratching the surface, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, trying to live the dream, bro.
I feel you. You know? But cool, man. All right, we got Lonzo Starr from Concrete Comics. Y'all know where to find him. Make sure y'all go and check him out. Honestly, man, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. So go check that out.
I appreciate you, bro. For real. Thank you for having me on, man.
Oh, man. Thanks for coming by.
All right. So that is it for this week's episode. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you found a new story to follow or got some type of helpful information out of this episode. Make sure you join us next week. We got new episodes coming every Friday. If you happen to be interested in learning more about my own manga project, then make sure you go to blackspargesmanga.com. Check it out on social media. So Facebook, Instagram at blackspargesmanga as well. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We got new people, new episodes coming every week. Some really dope creators, some exciting stuff to talk about and new stories to dive into. Y'all have a great week. I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.